Please to welcome our distinguished guest, Sheikh Muhammad Maliki from Saudi Arabia. The program today will be in three parts, will be three lectures. The first part from now, until about 3 o'clock, will be entitled Islam, the Balanced Religion Between Extremism and Modernism. The second talk will be approximately starting at 3:30 until Asr, and that will be the importance of following the ulama. And finally, after Asr, for about an hour, will be an open question and answer session. So I'll hand over to the Sheikh. All the lecture will be in English, so all your translation is done.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على المبعوث بخير دين هدى ورحمة للعالمين، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحابته الغر الميامين ومن سن بسنته واهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، as it is just announced by the brother that the talk is going to be around what we call the Islamic literature, the Islamic terminology, al-waqtiyya, between the extremism and the modernism. Islam, as everybody knows, that is the seal religion, the last religion Allah Ta'ala sent down to the mankind. And Islam is the religion that is valid for everywhere and every time, as we all know. This validity cannot be until every individual of the Ummah knows his position in the Ummah, which he cannot gain until he sits to the ulama and listen the voice of the people of knowledge. As what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a group of the Sahaba were in a journey and one of them was injured, and they slept in a night, when they awake in the morning, the man found himself on janaba. So he asked first of the Sahaba, what should he do in regard to the issue of tahara, purification? They all said, we find that it is compulsory for you to take shower, to make ghusl. As it was the ijma' of those Sahaba, and as he was a very obedient slave of Allah, He took that opinion. Once he took the shower, he died. The news was brought to the Prophet ﷺ, whether by people or came from the heavens. Allah. The Prophet ﷺ immediately said, قَتَلُوهُ قَاتَلَهُمَ اللَّهُ أَلَا سَأَلُوا حِينَ جَهِلُوا إِنَّمَا شِفَاءُ الْعِيمِ السؤال. The Prophet ﷺ said, they've killed him. May Allah kill them. When they ask if they don't know, as the remedy of ignorance is asking. This was said to the Sahaba, the great and grand quality of the Ummah. What about it today? We people of today are more in need to hear the voice of the ulama than at any time in the whole 14 centuries of Islam. We are in need. Why? Because the trials, the fitan is everywhere, surrounding us in our own lands, our home countries, or wherever we live. There are a lot of trials, and especially the trails of desire, hawa. You see it there all the time. How can then we shut it? We have to go back to the ulama. Simply because Allah Ta'ala said, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوِ الْخَوْفِ أَدَاعُوا بِهِ. Whenever a matter of fear or security falls on them, they immediately go and spread the news of it. But this is not a position of Muslims. Allah Ta'ala then said, أَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَىٰ أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِطُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ. And if they return it back, the first back, to أُولِي الْأَمْرِ. أُولِي الْأَمْرِ, the ulama define this word by saying that ulul amr are two qualities: the ruler, the umara, and the ulama. And the ulama. So all our matters have to return back to those. As for the rulers, we cannot reach the rulers to convey our message or opinion, but the scholar gates are always open. So easily you can reach the ulama and tell them about the Muslims or the appeal of that time, the matter. One might say that the ulama do not take any position. They are just settling in very beautiful palaces. This is their duty. If they don't respond to the Muslims' matter, Allah will punish them. But you have your own duty. You should not exceed the limits, the boundaries. The people today, the non-Muslims, look into Islam and think that this is Islam of yani, no organizing. There is no organizing, nothing organized in this religion. Everyone does whatever he likes. But this is wrong. Islam is a very systematic religion. Very, very systematic religion. If anybody takes the opinion to pray Dhuhr at 11 o'clock or 10:30, every ordinary Muslim will indicate him wrong. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ said you pray this time, so you cannot pray before. So that is system. Why? Why Islam came to say you pray 5 times a day, Fajr in this time, Dhuhr in this time, Asr in this time, etc. Why it said Fajr 2 rak'ah, Dhuhr 4 rak'ah, Maghrib 3 rak'ah? Why it said that Fajr also be loudly recited, Dhuhr all silent recitation, Asr silent recitation, Isha splitted, Maghrib 2 rak'ah loudly, 1 rak'ah silently, Isha 2 rak'ah loudly? Why all this? It's to make you train and move on system. Our life in Islam is not a kind of mess. No. Islam brought us from the mess, real mess life, to the organized life. If one says, okay, Hajj is difficult, we will take the disabled persons, and for example, in Shawwal, earlier than the people, the time of Hajj, So it is less rush, so we take the people, make the walk, stand in Arafah. Would that be accepted? No, that Hajj is not accepted. Why? Because Islam said this shall be it. You cannot change. You think, why Islam did that? You come too fast in it. Must be in Ramadan. Can we choose the good weather season so we make Ramadan there? In Saudi Arabia, nowadays, alhamdulillah, Ramadan is in a good weather. But many years ago, maybe 20, 30 years ago, we used to fast and we used to feel tired, hungry and thirsty to limit that one goal intensity because of the extreme hot weather there, especially in Medina and Makkah as well. Can we choose to change it to the winter time, to the fall, to the autumn time, to the spring? Not up to us. We have to sit it this way. Why? It is to make you exercise the systematic life, organized life. We are not robots, but we are not animals. Move anywhere, anyhow. No. You have to move under the guidance of Islam. All of your movements should be related to the guidance of Islam. This was an introduction. I wanted to move forward to our topic because it is a very sensitive topic. And many people would come and say, oh, you're saying this, but we see people doing this and that. We say, Islam is not what you see. Islam is what you read. Unfortunately, in the old days, Islam was what you see, what you read, and what you see. At the time of Sahaba, time of the Prophet, that was Islam. What you read in the book is not that different from what you see on the field. Today, you, Muslim brothers and sisters, get sometimes shocked. when you see, well, let me just bring an example. Now today, is there any Muslim who prays any prayer without reciting Fatiha? Or say no. Maybe those who believe or take the opinion that if you are muqtadi, behind the Imam, you don't recite Fatiha. But he still, the Imam has to recite Fatiha. Okay? If you pray individually, you have. Isn't it? So, we come to an agreement that there is not any single Muslim who pray without reciting Fatiha. Right? Whatever route is where he is. He is Sufi, he is this, he is that, he is regardless. Okay? Now all of them say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. All of them are saying, Ya Allah, we worship you alone. We seek help from you alone. But come to the field. Is that what they do? Is that what they do, brother? I doubt. And I strongly doubt that this is the main thing that they corrupt. So Islam today is not what you see. Islam today, we want it to be what you see, but unfortunately, Islam what you read. And when we say you read, we mean in the Quran and the authentic books of tafsir like Ibn Kathir, Ibn Jarir, Qurtubi and the like, and what you read in the books of Sunnah, which are the authentic books of Sunnah, like Bukhari, Muslim, and the Sunnah, okay, which are containing of some hadith which are authentic and some are not, and the ulama worked in that and clarified them out. But is it okay that we see the situation go as it is? Yani, we read, but no. You have to correct yourself. And if everyone be so aware of his own matters and how to correct himself, one day we will find all Muslims are good examples for others. But if everyone is only aware of others' matters, he's wrong. But he's blind to look into the mirror. He doesn't want to see his mistakes. He's just correcting the mistakes of others. You correct yourself and be the good example, people will be corrected. People will be corrected. Allah Ta'ala said, as in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 143, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. And that's how we made you to be أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. We will come to the meaning of وَسَطًا. But it is, let's say it is balance between extremists and moderates. Why we are made to be wasat? And probably my way is to use the Muslim terminology, especially Quran and Sunnah. So you may hear sometimes they use Arabic words. I will explain them for once, and then you need to cope with me. So Quran says that our ummah is wasat. It's balanced. Why? There is a reason. Allah Ta'ala in the same ayah clarified that reason. لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. In Arabic, li, this letter li, called لام التعليم, gives you the cause. Why did it happen? Because of this. So why Allah made him wasat? Balance? So they become witnesses. For the other nations, either against or for them. لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِدًا. Look at this. You are made to be wasat. balance. Why? So you can't be witnesses for against the other nations, other people. And ويكون and also another reason. And so the Prophet should be a witness either for you or against you. So why it is not said, so you and the Messenger be witnesses about the other nations? Now you are the witnesses about other nations. The Prophet would be witness about you. Why? Simply because the Prophet is going to die, but the Ummah is going to, you know, remain generation after generation after generation, and they take the message, so they will deliver it. At the end, in the day of resurrection, the messenger will come and will be asked about all of us. And then we are going to be asked about the others. Now, the Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is witness of us. How do you think he is? Balance or extremist? Is the messenger extremist? Is he moderate? Is he balanced? He's balanced. He's balanced. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam balanced. He was on balance. Anyone was very extreme, when anyone was very easy and, you know, let things happen and that's it. No, he was balanced. And we'll take some examples of the balancing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How he was balanced, how he judged matters. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be balanced, will be a witness upon us. If we are real, if we are the witnesses, if we are the witnesses, and we can be witnesses only when we are wasat, when we are balanced. So if we are not balanced, we are not good to be witnesses. As you know, if you go to the court, if a case went to the court, and the judge looked at it, witnesses, bring the witnesses. One witness from his speech, for example, they say, what do you say about this man, Mr. So-and-so? He always voices him in a way of, you know, putting him down. That other thing did this. That other thing said this. Do you think the judge will accept this witnessing? No, because hatred is there against him. So, you cannot be the witness if you hate him. You cannot be the witness if you hate it. Because you may add some things. The witness must be adamant, truthful, honest. If you come to be a witness of against somebody or for somebody in the court, and you always say, do you say so and so? It's nothing. Do you say so? He would say, oh, he wants to support him only. He may say lie only to support him. Excuse me. You're not good to be with him. So the witness must be balanced. You're not against, you're not with. You just say the truth. Okay. You are not a lawyer. The lawyer cannot be a witness. The enemy cannot be a witness. That's the simple thing we say. Neither enemy nor lawyer can be a witness on a case. So, must be somebody who's balanced, who's middle. Allah Ta'ala when Allah Ta'ala said this ayah, كَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا, Ibn Kathir said that wasat means the best of you, the most just of you, and their witnessing. That's what Ibn Kathir said in his book. Ibn al-Athir, رحمه الله تعالى, in his book غريب الحديث, When it comes to speak about the hadith of the Lord صلى الله عليه وسلم, خير الأمور أوصاتها, the best of the matter are the balanced ones. He said, every character has two sides. The extremist and the moderate. And then he gave examples. He said, for example, التخاء or kindness has two sides. بخل, greed, and كبير, waste. The Muslim is to be balanced with wafa. Allah Ta'ala in Surah Al-Furqan said, والذين إذا أنفقوا لم يسرفوا ولم يقصروا وكان بين ذلك قواما. So here is the wasatiyya, the balancing of this ummah. If you spend money, your money, you don't hold them and seen by the others like you are very poor. Well, you have money, you don't eat, you don't dress well, you don't, now that's not good. On the other hand, you don't get, and you can't buy a normal car. Now you go and buy, for example, a normal car, which is a good car. May cost, let's say, I don't know, £12,000, let's say, like just this is the average. But you go and buy very, very, you know, famous, comfortable, etc. Well, maybe £50,000. Now we say, this is wasting money. This is a deal. You can buy this £12,000, but you go, like in my country, for example, in Saudi, they go and buy very old, deteriorated car, damaged from everywhere. Maybe you can drive it for certain miles and then you ask somebody to give you a bush. And why do you have money? You can't buy this £12,000 car, but you prefer to buy £1,000 car. So later on, you end up asking your friends, please give me a lift because today my car is broken. That is a regular, it's a regular day. Every day your car is broken because you are greedy. He doesn't want to repair, he doesn't want to buy a good car. Now this is not good. So, kindness must be middle, but it's not greedy, it's not wasting money. And he gave example of one being brave. It doesn't mean, because people today, what, how do they understand brevity? They say, if you go and harshly attack people, oh, he's brave. No, he's not brave. In Arabic, they call him mutahawwir. So, he's not brave in real, because the brave is the one who can control himself, who can have control over himself and think. That is a brave. So, it is middle between yani, being always scared from everything, everyone. Oh. Like, for example, let's say one of the brothers was telling me that some people say, if anybody slashes you on your right cheek, you give him the left. Say, no, Islam is not like that. Islam is not like that. But the other, what does he do? If anybody slashes him, he go and bomb him. Now, that's not also, it's not the way. Allah Ta'ala will come to show you the rules that Allah Ta'ala commanded us. If we've been oppressed or attacked, just to As what Allah Ta'ala said in Surah An-Nahl, ayah 126, وَإِنْ عَاقَبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا عَاقَبْتُمْ بِهِ وَلَئِنْ صَبَرْتُمْ لَخَيْرٌ لِلصَّابِرِينَ. If you are tossed, so you bunch or toss the way you were tossed. Don't exceed it. Don't do much more than that. And then Allah Ta'ala said, وَلَئِنْ صَبَرْتُمْ, and if you be patient, لَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لِلصَّابِرِينَ. This is good for those who have patience. So we have to balance. We have to balance. Balancing in Islam is very, very important issue. Very important issue. We see today, for example, people from amongst those who are maybe considered to be ulama or the like, and they consider them ulama, they always say, we respond to any aggression with aggression. The others say, no, we leave matters alone. But you see, Arab Islam, even today, are balanced. The ulama, the real ulama, they are balanced. An example. Alaykum as-salam. In Bukhari and Muslim, on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that a group of Yahud came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said, As-salamu alayka ya Muhammad. Salam in Hebrew means death. It looks like salam. It looks like salam in Arabic. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood what they mean. Aisha understood what they mean. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wa alaykum. Aisha said, Salam be upon you and the curse of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ looked at him. Now the Yahud did not do anything. They kept quiet. And they don't say that, oh, the Prophet said this because the Yahud, you know, acted aggressively. No, they kept quiet. So the Prophet ﷺ turned to Aisha and said, Ya Aisha, ما كان الرفق بشيء إلا زانه ولا نبع بشيء إلا شمه. So the Prophet ﷺ is guiding Aisha to be easy and nice and kind. And he said that kindness and easy and ease, whenever we remove from a thing, it will turn it to be a bad thing. Whenever it is found in a thing, it will beautify it. Aisha said, Ya Rasulullah, didn't you hear what they said? He said to her, didn't you hear what I said to them? Because I gave them all what they said, finish. This is the wasatiyya, this is the balancing. The balancing in these days, as we said at the beginning, is very, very essential. Why? Today you cannot, and for example, let me just give you this example. A brother in Jeddah came to me and said that he was in one Ramadan praying Taraweeh in a masjid where Muslim Americans used to go and pray there. The Imam was always making dua against all Americans. Oh, Allah destroyed them, this. Those Americans, after Salah, they came to the Imam, they said, Ya Akhi, you have no fiqh. You are making dua against us and we are praying with you. You should say the kuffar. Look at this, there is no balancing, even our worship in dua. You know? And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never cursed Quraysh. He cursed certain people. And Allah blamed him for cursing individuals by their names. But he, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, never cursed whole Quraysh. Maybe one would say, okay, but he cursed Ra'al al-Rikwan. Alaykum as-salam. He cursed certain yani, tribes. Yeah, because most of them were like, and were kuffar and were acting harshly against the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When he, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, went to Taif, after he almost lost hope of that the people in Mecca can support him and come to Islam, he went to Taif because Taif has some relationship with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know, Halim al-Ta'diyah is from a village, he belongs to Taif, Bani Sa'd. So he is in a way or another having some relations with them. So I said, maybe they will support me. He went to Taif. But the people of Taif rejected his call and stoned him and, you know, the bleeding answered them. When he was coming down the mountain of Taif to Mecca, Allah sent Jibreel and the angel of mountains to the Prophet ﷺ, telling him that if you want this angel to collapse the two main mountains of Mecca above them and finish Mecca, and that's it, all the people of Mecca would be killed. He ﷺ said, no, I wish that Allah bring from them who witness the oneness of Allah. So, now this is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who is yani, him and his companions were charged very severely. Very, very severely. Look at Ali Yasser, what happened to Ali Yasser. They all were crucified and charged and killed. Bilal used to be taught very severely. He himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day was treated by the Kaaba, then they taught, you know, the she camel, huh?
Intestine.
And put on his head while he's prostrating. But he did not fight them, he did not do anything. They put him in bonds in Sha'b Abi Talib between two mountains, not for one day, not for one week, not for one month, 3 years. 3 years they put him in bond, and they forbidden any transaction with him or with the people of him. No in business, no in marriage, nothing. Nothing at all. They followed him on the way of Hijrah to Medina. They did many things. But when he came to open Mecca on the 8th year of Hijrah, and he got the remainings of them arrested and brought to him near the Kaaba, he said, okay, people of Mecca, what do you think I'm going to do with you now? After all what you did now, after all what they did, what do they think that he himself would do? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said, Akhul Kareem or Akhul Kareem. You are
A kind brother,
and you're a kind cousin. A kind nephew. So he said, اذهبوا فأنتم الخلفاء. He did not even ask them, okay, if you're a Muslim now, I leave you. He just said, okay, you go, you're free. Imagine this. Even he did not say, if you become Muslim, I'll let you go. He did not even say that. He just said, okay, اذهبوا فأنتم الخلفاء. You go, you're free. Why? Because he's kind. He's balanced. He deals with people the way he is, not the way they are. He deals with the people the way he is, not the way they are. Another incident. When the Prophet ﷺ went to Khaybar, a Jewish woman invited him. She asked what food he liked. They said that he liked the arm of the sheep. So she slaughtered the sheep and cooked it and served it to the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. But she put a big amount of poison in it. You know what it does mean today when you poison the head of the leader, the head of the government, the head of the community, then you know what it means. So the Prophet ﷺ ate, but before he swallowed, Allah made that arm to tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a way or another, but we believe that it spoke to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him that there is a poison in this food. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam chucked the food out of his mouth, but one of the Sahaba already swallowed the food and died. So the Prophet ﷺ brought that woman and asked her, why did that? And she said that, I wanted to see, if you are a prophet, Allah will protect you. If you are not a prophet, you are a liar, you will eat and die. The Prophet ﷺ knew that she is honest in that. He did not kill her because she tried to poison him. But because she already killed somebody, he killed her. But not for himself. Not for himself. And he did not destroy the town of her. He did not kill the relatives of her. No. Only her, because there was one killed. And even not for himself. Not for himself. So he, Barcelona, did not revenge what she did for him. He only judged that case as he killed somebody. This is the wasatiyah, or the balance we need Muslims to be upon today. And look, I'm not telling you be like President so-and-so, King so-and-so, Sheikh so-and-so. I'm telling you be like what the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba were. When I said this to some people, they said, but their time is different. The Jews, the Christians, the kuffar of their time are not like these liberals today. I say, you're wrong. You are totally wrong. The kuffar of that time are more harsh than them today. Do you want me to understand that who taught a Muslim who is worshipping the grave today is even worse than the one who touched Bilal ibn Rabah? No way. Why? Because Umayyah ibn Khalaf, when he touched Bilal, he touched him for his religion, for calling to the oneness of Allah, and he called him and he told him, disbelieve in Allah and I release you now. He said, no, ahad. For that he was tortured. Today, it's a different thing. I don't say that the kuffar are not doing what they're doing because of Islam. No, because of Islam. But for sure, in not all cases, Because they know who these people are, who those people are. But we need to be balanced. We need to be balanced. What's happening today is a kind of corruption. And from the waqfiyya, from the balancing, is for example, if an army of a kuffar, yani country, attacks a Muslim land, something like that, it's not allowed for us to go and kill the civilians, the innocents. This is not true. If somebody slaps you, you don't go and slash his cousin. This is not true. This is not fair. Allah Ta'ala said, وَلَا تَذِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِذْرَ أُخْرَى. The sin of an individual would not be brought on the account of the other. Everyone will carry his sins. So this is the balancing. How we are balancing today? We, the Muslims, general Muslims, and especially those who are living in the Western countries, where they have no Muslim governments. How would they act? And those who are living in the Muslim land, where the law of Islam is not practiced. How would they act? Allah Ta'ala said, لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يتقي الله واليوم الآخر. You have a good example and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. You look what he did, you look what he said, and you follow him. Allah Ta'ala also said, فإن تنازعتم في شيء فردوه إلى الله وإلى الرسول والرسول إن كنتم مؤمنين تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر ذلك خير. فإن تنازعتم في شيء هو تنازعتم. If you have a conflict on a matter, who, you, here the pronoun refers to who, you or mankind, the believers. If you consider yourself a believer, then this call is to you. You have to obey. If you don't obey, you have to think, am I somebody who is meant by this call or not? فَإِن تَنَزَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. Return back this matter that I have conflict on to Allah and to the Messenger. How? At this time we know. At the time of the Prophet ﷺ, we know. But today, how? How? We're turning back to the Quran and the Sunnah. Well, so many people say that's good, and that's what they are doing. What they are doing? They never studied knowledge. Or maybe they have taken some little knowledge, maybe say in a couple of months, a few years. With some of the tulab al-ilm or ulama, and then they say, okay, that's what we are doing. What are we doing? We are going to the Quran. Here's the Quran, bring the Quran. Here's the books of Sunnah. No. This is not the way. If this is the way, then what is the benefit of Allah saying, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. What is the benefit of Ahl al-Dhikr? Why they are there? What is the benefit of Allah saying, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. What is the benefit of Allah saying, فَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوْ الْخَوْفِ أَدَاعُوا بِهِ وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَىٰ أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِطُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ. If a matter of fear or security came to them or fall on them, they should return it back to أُولِي الْأَمْرِ, to the Messenger at his time and to Ulul Amr. Who are Ulul Amr? The ulama said Ulul Amr are the rulers and the scholars. And as I said before, not everything, every time you can reach the rulers, but the scholars are having open gates. You can go to them in the masjid and everywhere. لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمْلِقُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ. As they return this matter back to the people of knowledge, the people of knowledge will know how to deal with this. إِسْتَمْلِقُونَهُ means to extract the fiqh of it and how to deal with it. And that shows that we ordinary people cannot see that thing. Why? Because it is our say to Yahya ibn Ma'in, one of the scholars of Hadith, was said to him, how do you know the Hadith Sahih, Hadith Da'if? How? People bring you the Hadith and you say this is Da'if, this is Sahih, how do you know? He said, go to the goldsmith and ask him, how can he know the pure gold and the mixed gold? It means experience. It means experience. When you live with ilm, the way, the proper way, live with ilm, many people say, oh, we live with ilm, where is the internet? No, this is not the ilm. This is not the ilm, Akhi. Oh, I have plenty of books. If books is the ilm, then you didn't need the ulama, because alhamdulillah today everyone can buy books. And I always say, ilm has two things, the body of ilm and the spirit of ilm. The body of ilm is what you see in the books. That is the body of ilm. Things written. That is the ilm. Okay? But where is the spirit, which is the fiqh? And see what the Prophet said when he supplicated for Ibn Abbas. Said, oh Allah, علمه التأويل وفقهه في الدين. Why the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not say علمه التأويل والدين؟ Why? Because fiqh is the spirit of the ilm. And that's why the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said رحم الله امرئا أو نظر الله امرئا سمع منا مقالة فوعاها فأجاها كما وعاها فرب مبلغ أو عام سامع ورد حامل فقه إلى من هو أفضل منه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم say, may Allah give beauty to the face of the one who listens to our speech and deliver it as he may deliver it to somebody who has fiqh more than him. So that means this deliverer might not have the fiqh of it. He will deliver it as it is, then another one will have it and extract the fiqh from it. So, istinbat or extracting is the position of ulama, whom Allah Ta'ala described by the saying, الراسخون في العلم. Rasikhun in Arabic rusukh is to be deep in, for example, the mountain is rasikh. Why? Because it is deep in the ground. What you see of the mountain is only one third of the mountain, two thirds and a ground. So that's the Arab. Two thirds of ten. You don't see it in the ilm, inside the ilm. And when Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, that my knowledge is in my chest, he did not mean that he memorized all the